Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
It might have been about a half an hour ago, and I had my faithful sidekick, Emily, my best buddy over there, my daughter, who just got her master's degree.
Great.
Yeah. It's some kind of mental health issue, so I'm hoping for the best. You know, like maybe I could get a deal. Yeah. But reason I was laying under my truck, it wasn't because I was depressed. It was because one of my tires went flat. My truck's got 19,000 miles on it, and I thought, surely it'll be a long time before any of these tires go flat, but it turns out if you get a big nail in it, it don't matter how many miles it's got on it, it's going by. So we changed it. Emily commented on how mature I was all through that. I didn't throw any fits. I didn't throw the jack, but I tell you what I did do that was really a rookie mistake. I jacked that truck up with that. You know that little jack they give you?
Yeah,
a little old tiny thing, and I'm jacking that baby up, and I noticed it kind of was making some little sounds. It rolled, the whole truck rolled. I never put an emergency brake on. If you're going to jack it up, put the brake on. Just remember that. Amen. So I'm a part of the board here at Cornerstone, and I tell you what, I am so proud and thankful and honored to be a part of it. Everything that goes on in these, we have these meetings. I mean, there's sometimes maybe three or four a year. Sometimes it's over the phone. Sometimes it's at the end of the year, and it's a long meeting about all sorts of stuff. But the guys that are in there, Mr. Ed, Dr. Ben, CW, they're just so honorable and so sold out and concerned about what happens with this congregation and with the staff here and all this stuff. And I mean, I think I say this every time I come here, but it's true every time I come here. They care more about the finances of the church than they care about their own. They care more about the well-being of this house than they care about their own. That's just who's there. And so I just want to tell you, I know you probably know this already, but you're just blessed to have these men who come out and do this. And I sit there and listen to them and honestly think, man, you ever had somebody tell you you were kind of out of your league, you know, you're out of your depth or something, you know, or you're over your skis or some little thing? That's how I feel when I hear these guys talking. That's how sharp they are. So we are blessed to have them. Wouldn't you agree?
Amen.
So I'm going to say grace, praise God, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace, the Bible tells us, is multiplied in the knowledge of the goodness of God. And it doesn't say goodness, but I figure if it's knowledge about God, it's good. In fact, I knew a lady one time, and she told me, Pastor, you know, when I come to church, I like to feel like somebody's been stepping on my toes. And I didn't really grow up in church, so I didn't really know that when you're stepping on somebody's toes, it means you're kind of offending them, you know, you're stepping on their toes. And I thought, well, that's the last thing in the world I want to feel. I want to hear about the goodness of God. I got enough toe stomping going on in life. I want to hear about the goodness of God. And it's the goodness of God. Actually, it's the goodness of God that multiplies grace and peace. Grace is God's ability. Grace ain't only just what you say before you eat all them vittles. Grace is God's ability that works in our heart, gives us the ability to live the life that He has called us to. And peace is the atmosphere of hearing from God. I tell you, you get turmoil in your life, you can hear from God, but it's just a lot harder to hear from God than when you have the peace of God. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards our hearts and minds, and that's our gift from God. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
So turn with me, if you brought your Bible with you, turn with me. Mine is currently upside down. I might have used that to get the jack to go high enough. So Psalm 46, and I'll tell you one more quick story that happened. This has been one of those days. So the tire went flat, but it was nice because it was only about 105 out there. And the asphalt, thank God they had put plenty of that down there, you know, and it was black and hot. It was wonderful, really, in a lot of ways. And But this morning I got pigeons. How is y'all keeping your pigeons cool? How are y'all? Can we talk about how y'all keeping y'all's pigeons cool this time of year? We'll talk about it maybe later, but I'm going through looking at my pigeons, trying to figure out, you know, make sure they got plenty of water, and I'm opening up these little doors, and there's a snake in there. This first thing in the morning, and I'm telling you what, you know what a middle school girl looks like when she sees a mouse or something? That's how I am with, eek, eek, that's how I am with a, eek, just scared. But he's not going to bother anybody else, I can tell you that. He's, to quote the guy on Duck Dynasty, he gone. Yeah. So a while back, I taught a series at my church called Stop and Stare. And really what it was about being still and observing the works of God. The verses I used came out, and so these verses came out of Psalm 46. I'm going to read real quick. But then in the midst of doing this, in the midst of putting this message, this series together and teaching it, I'm a little bit late to catch this train here, but I realized in the midst of that how wonderful and how special Jesus is. And I mean, I've always kind of known that, you know, I've been saved a long time, we don't have time to talk about the foolish nonsense that he's redeemed me from, and how I have a freedom that that peace that passes all understanding and all that, that he's done for me. I realized while I was doing I was kind of putting together the things to stare at. You with me? So, and I got the verses out of here, and the more I looked in here, I got these notes and notes and notes that Doug informed me I will not be preaching all of tonight. But I saw in these notes the goodness of God. And it says in Psalm 46 in verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Be still. And that word "be still," you know, that's Hebrew language back there, which what I do with the Hebrew language is I've got a Strong's Concordance and a Vine's Expository Dictionary. It ain't even on the computer. It's the old-fashioned book. You look it up, and so you can find out what these words mean when you see it. And "be still" doesn't tell really anything about this word that it really is, which is the Hebrew rapha. And rapha means let it drop and leave it. Let it drop and leave it. And just so you'll know, it is anything that does not line up with the view and opinion of God. Whatever you think about yourself that doesn't, you know, too much month at the end of the money, we'll never make it. Me and the old lady are going to get a divorce. My kids are probably on dope. We'll never, you know, all of this stuff. My dad was a drunk. I'll probably end up being a drunk. He had cancer, so I'll get. All of that is stuff that we need to rough all. We need to be still and let that stuff drop. Because you know and I know, you go to church here, you know you're going to have what you say. Many of us are spending a lot of time talking about what we have when we're really supposed to, we're going to have what we say we have. And that's just the truth. And I've borne that out over many years too, just like you have. And so "be still" is to drop, let it go, let it drop. And then this "behold" here in verse 8, "come behold the works of the Lord." Behold the works of the Lord. Now, "behold" there is an accurate translation of that word for "behold" is to stare at the works of the Lord, to stare at them. Now, in Acts, Peter and John, you'll remember this. In Acts, Peter and John healed a lame man and preached the gospel with boldness, resulting in thousands of people being saved. They were arrested and brought before the Sanhedrin, was like the Supreme Court. And the Sanhedrin noted that they were uneducated and untrained, and they marveled and realized what? They had been with Jesus. They had been staring at Jesus, and it changed them. They were just a bunch of watermen. They didn't know nothing about preaching and seeing thousands of people getting saved and all that stuff. But they watched Jesus. They were staring. They were beholding what he did. Be still, let it go, and stare at what he's doing. Not only in the word, but what he's doing in your life. We spend time with Jesus in a different and, according to him, a better way now. It's inside and it's videos. It's inside and it's videos. And I mean, if video sounds too carnal, then say vision or pick up something else. But what it is, when you see Jesus' works now, you look into the Word of God, and then when you look into the Word of God, you get a video or you get a picture of when at my church, when I talk about the woman caught in the act of adultery, she's always right down there because that's where I've preached about it and seen her maybe 100 times now or something like that. And I get a fine vision of that, and I see the people standing around with the rocks, and I hear the grumbling, watch them walk away slowly, oldest to the youngest, and all of these things. So we get two kinds of videos. The first one is the video of the works of the Lord, but the second video is very exciting, and it's based on a promise that Jesus gave us about the Holy Spirit, and he said this. He said in John 16, the Spirit of truth will show you things to come. Yeah. So, now wouldn't that be handy? Yeah. If you'd only knew the marriage was going to turn out like this. If you only knew that roof had a big leak in it. And if you only knew that car was going to have a flat at 19,000 miles. If you only knew all this stuff. What if you saw the beginning from the end on all? So not talking about being a fortune teller. I'm talking about being still and tuning in to the God who lives on the inside of you. And these are the exceeding great and precious promises and wonders that caused me to say, someone special has walked into my life. Yeah. Not just an above average, scholarly, wonderful person. We all have people like that we've met in our lives. Maybe it's a mechanic at the shipyard or a mechanic somewhere or a doctor or a teacher or somebody, and you've met this person that you really admire, and they bring a lot to the table. And maybe it's a person, and this is how I am with Pastor Chris, maybe it's a person you behave around him. Amen. Pastor Chris will call me on the phone, and he always tells me, he says, Pastor Debbie's in the truck with me. That's code for Jerry, don't say nothing stupid today, okay? Just stick. He'll show you things to come. I'm reminded of a scripture where it says, labor to enter into rest. See, this takes a little bit of effort. These exceeding great and wonderful and precious promises, you hear these promises and see the works and see the videos in your mind in the secret place. Jesus said it like this. He said, when you pray, go to your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward openly. Well, what happens? You know, many of you know this. When you go to pray in the secret place, phone wants to ring. Somebody wants to bang on the door. The kid's got to get somewhere. There's a million things that go on. Plus, I mean, it's just weird to go lock yourself in a room somewhere. It's just weird. And everybody's going to make sure and say, hey, you're being weird. But I'm reminded of this labor to enter into that rest. See, meditating the Word of God is a lot like if you got a car with a dead battery, but it's got a stick shift. Now, the rednecks among us right now know exactly where I'm going with this. But if you're young, you just have to ask your parents about this. It used to be a long time ago that cars had a clutch and a stick shift. And boy, if you were on the Coleman Bridge, you learned what kind of skills you had, especially when some moron pours right up behind you and you got to, you know, you're jockeying along with the parking brake, trying to hit the thing and not roll back and all this stuff. But let's just say you're not in a place where you can get a rolling too good. If you're 10 miles away from home, it'd be a lot easier just to walk home. I mean, just walk home than it would be to push that car with a dead battery. However, if you open the driver's side door and you put it in neutral And you have the, don't forget to put the ignition on. That's just like not locking the brake on when you're jacking. There's a rookie mistake. So you turn the key on and you labor for a little bit. It'd be a lot easier just to walk. It'd be a lot easier to put your thumb out. I mean, you could just get there quicker maybe. But look, if you will labor to enter into that rest, you get her going, jump in, put it in gear, pop the clutch. Guess what? Air conditioning comes on. Full tank of gas. Going where you want to go now. Just make sure you either park like my dad did. My dad never really, he was an interesting guy, and he had himself in a spot. That's all I'm going to say about Dad. I'm scared I'm going to get in trouble for talking about him. He got saved at my church, so I know where he is. But he would park everywhere. He didn't have enough money to buy a new battery. So he would always park at an incline. 50, 60 years old. Backing up to an incline. He didn't want to have to get out and labor to enter into that rest. So it's the same thing with meditating. It's the same thing. You labor. You put up with all that. You learn to turn your phone off and all that stuff. And sit in there with God. Listen to what God says to you. And we can see and behold the works of the Lord. And he will show you things to come in the secret place. Jesus has done, and this is coming up on the part where I realize, yeah, how many's born again in here? I'm saying just raise your hand if you're born again. Almost everybody. And so really there's only two reasons you wouldn't raise your hand if somebody said, are you born again? Number one would be if you're not born again. You know, you're just being honest. No, I ain't got there yet. I haven't done that. And the other would be, maybe you're a person who says, well, I don't raise my hand when people tell me to raise my hand. I don't believe in doing that. Well, let me tell you something about being a believer. It's a hand-raising situation. It's a declaring situation. It's a saying. It's a talking. It's a finessing situation. Sometimes it's a go into all the world who don't want to hear what you have to say and begin to start a relationship situation. Well, I don't want to do that either. But I don't want to not fulfill the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, he doesn't be damned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Man, I could be in on that. And I found out about this guy that all of this stuff, it's so wonderful. How about a middle schooler? Anybody got middle schoolers? You are one, ain't you? Okay. See, you're a sharp middle schooler. I was just thinking, you know, either somebody in your family that's a middle school, high school, or something like that, or somebody you work with, and you notice something different about them. Maybe they're old enough to have a car, and this car has been heaped up to here with trash, but all of a sudden they're starting to keep the car clean. What's that all about? Usually look like they comb their hair with a firecracker or a leaf blower. Most don't care how they smell and just will wear pretty near anything. And just leave. But all of a sudden the hair is sort of tightened up and everything. And or maybe a person at work, you know, and you notice there's a little spring in their step and they got showing a few more teeth when they smile, and there's just something going on. You do a little investigating, you say, hey, what's going on here? And well, I've met someone special. There's someone special in my life now. And you can see the behavior changes. And you see how that something's going on. And I want to tell you, if you raised your hand on that, you've been born again, that means you know you've been born again. I mean, you just know. You're here on Wednesday, so you know. You know, I mean, and Sunday we're not too sure. But Wednesday, pretty good sure bet. I want to tell you that someone, and this is what I found out not too long ago, someone incredibly special has walked into your life. In fact, not just above average special, I'm talking about supernatural, wonderful, actually the greatest person who ever lived special. You labor to enter into rest with him and you'll find yourself in a conversation with someone who knows everything and longs to show you things to come. I mean, somebody special, that somebody who loves you unconditionally has walked into your life, and not by mistake. I'm telling you, somebody older than you, probably older than you, prayed for you.
That's exactly.
Somebody was praying.
Yes, they were.
I mean, how else could it have happened?
Yeah.
Just luck. Just luck, I guess. No, it ain't luck. That's why this is a raise your hand situation right here, because we all have a part of this.
Yeah.
Amen. And he's done amazing stuff. What's the best story I can tell you is a 6-foot rat snake I found with my pigeons, and I had a flat tire today. Look, that's all I got. A flat tire and a story about it. This one right here spoke the world into existence. Amen?
Yeah.
Stepped out and spoke the world into existence. This ain't your water, is it, Doug? I gave a lady my water Sunday. Bless her heart, she was coughing. But she was hacking, and her whole head turned red. And it looked just like it was getting serious. And I usually let her cough. She's a cougher. But this was, you know, you got them. I gave her my water. She took a couple sips out of it and went to hand it back. I said, oh, no. I said, I don't drink after my wife. We got 2 kids together. I don't drink after anybody. But I know if you get thirsty enough, you will. John 21:25, it's the last verse in the book of John, and it says this about this person who walked into your life. If the things that Jesus did were, almost can't get this one out. If the things Jesus did were written one by one, the world could not contain the books. And he walked into your life. Man, just showed up into your life. Wow. Wow, wow. It's the mystery of the ages is revealed to his saints in Colossians chapter 1, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ in you, your earnest expectation of the manifest presence of God, the lightning-like shafts of splendor that go along with this glory of God. And he walked into your life. I'm telling you right now, if you're born again, somebody special walked into your life. And it's wonderful. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. And he's wonderful. In 1 Corinthians 3:16 and in about 40 or 50 other places, it says of us, those people who Jesus walked into our lives, it says that we are the temple. The Greek word is nahos, and it refers to the sanctuary itself containing the Holy of Holies. So now, when he comes, not only does he bring all of this amazing information and wonderful things, he also sets up camp on the inside of you, the fullness of the Godhead, and he is, and you are the Holy of Holies, the dwelling place of God. And in 1 Corinthians 6:17, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Now you know you're not just a body and you're not just a soul. What you really are is a spirit. That's just really what you are. You're made in the image and the likeness of God. God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He's a spirit and you're a spirit. But you're not a spirit right here, and he's a spirit over here. Not anymore. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, he who is joined to the special person that walked into your life is one spirit with him. So you're one to the exclusion of another. Now you are one with God. You say, this will kind of switch up a little bit about the way you pray. Kind of stop you from begging God to do a bunch of stuff and shake your head and realize, wait a minute, I'm not saying I am God. I'm not the God, and you're not either. But I will say this, we're a little closer in that direction than any of us are giving ourselves room to be in, because, and it's not because of us, we know that.
Right.
We're one with God. When you pray, when we pray, when we declare, when we speak the beginning from the end, we should realize that it is this God speaking through us.
Right.
We have a certain amount of authority just based on the fact that we are one spirit with the Lord. This is all going on inside of you right now, inside of you. How? I don't know. But isn't it amazing?
Yes.
I mean, it's incredible. If this is true, what do I do? You ever think about that? I mean, you can't not do something. If you now know, and maybe didn't know a minute ago, that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, you're the Nahas, you're one spirit with the Lord, you go to your secret place, you pray in secret, He'll reward you openly. The works that He did, you'll do also, and greater than these will you do because I go to my Father, and on and on and on. If that's true, what are we going to do? We got to do something. I'm not saying we got to do something to earn something or achieve something. I'm just saying there has got to be some kind of a reaction to this happening, or else maybe we don't believe it. That's also, I mean, to not believe this is a shame, but it's not unheard of.
Yeah.
It's pretty heavy stuff to be one. You know, I think, man, I'd love to just hang out with Jesus just for a little while, maybe be back along the shores of Galilee and just walk along with Him and just see what He had to say. You know how backwards that is? That's nuts. First of all, there was no air conditioning back then. Who on earth would want to be in on that? But Jesus said, there's a better way. It is to your advantage that I go, because if I go, I'll send the helper, intercessor, counselor, comforter, the parakletos, the one who's called alongside to help. Listen, it's actually Jesus, and we're not going to get into that, but He was the one who walked beside them and helped them everywhere they went. And He said, there's one coming, Allahs, another the exact same kind. If I had a brand new 2025 Corvette and I let you borrow it and you wrecked it and just left it where it was and you brought me back, let's say a 1996 Volkswagen. Well, you have brought me another car. But you didn't bring me another car of the exact same kind. You need to get me a 2025 Vet out here, same color, same everything. And that's what Jesus said. There's one coming that is exactly like me. You know what the difference is? He can be everywhere at one time. And the same thing that held true to those people who walked with Him in person holds true to everybody in this place. Every single person in here has the God, the Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the fullness on the inside of you right now.
Amen.
With the capacity to do and say all of the stuff that He's called us to do.
Yeah.
I mean, those, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, that's not just for us to hoard up.
Right.
You know, the gifts of the Spirit, that's for Walmart. Did you ever think of that?
Yeah.
The Walmartians? No, I'm one of them. I'm one. I love Walmart. Man, we almost had a parade when Walmart came to town. It was really hot that year, and I remember everybody would go to Walmart to get into air conditioning. I want to talk about a little bit more about how special this was. I'm not going to go on and on because I know this is Wednesday, and But I want to tell you something. I don't want you to leave here without this life-changing thing right here. And the person that you respect and the person that you think is spiritual and all is probably a person who's gotten a hold of this right here. That's probably what it is. And you might be that person. And if you are, praise God for that. What do I do? What do I do this minute, this today, this second? What do I do if all this is true and He's in me? Well, let me tell you something. It's shocking, but if you're born again, someone very special has walked into your life, and now, this is shocking, hold on to your seat, now nothing is more important for you. Nothing is more important for you than building a close personal friendship and fellowship with this God in you. Nothing is more important, not soul winning, not helping the poor, not attending church, not spiritual gifts, not working things, not doing the cleaning and nursery, whatever. All of that's wonderful and great, and you ain't gonna get too far in a church without somebody doing stuff.
Right.
But that's not nearly as important as when you walk out these doors today, you go, you know what? I've got to begin to honor, or at least respond on some level to what God has done in me. Someone very special has come to live on the inside of me, and praise God, I can't be ignoring this. I've got to begin to live this. I've got to figure out how to live with this predicament I've got now. How do I live with this? I can't just not do something. I've got to sing. I've got to praise. I've got to change how I talk. There's a God inside of me. There's the God inside of me now. What am I going to do? Well, thank God for soul winning. Thank God for helping the poor. Thank God for attending church and spiritual gifts and all that. It's wonderful. Those are the actions of God. But I want to read a couple of verses. Go to John chapter 12. A couple of verses that when you hear Jesus say these things, it's almost unbelievable. Because, you know, Jesus cared about the widows and the orphans. He cared about the poor. He cared tremendously about the poor, the people who were hurting. You know, like I say, the woman with the issue of blood, the woman caught in the very act of adultery, the woman at the well, he was very kind and compassionate and moved. I mean, there was there was women who changed his, and people who changed his whole memory. He would be heading in ministry this way, and somebody would say, come and heal my daughter, and he'd go, okay.
Right, that's right.
And people were directing the ministry of Jesus, and I'm just saying, There's some of this for us right now. When you hear this verse that Jesus said, it's almost unbelievable. So John chapter 12, and verse 1 says, then 6 days before the Passover. Have y'all heard about the $20,000 bottle of perfume? 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. Just blow on by that. No big deal there. Nothing to see here. Lazarus was dead. Now Jesus raised him from the dead. Let's eat. Verse 2, there they made him a supper with Martha. I told you, let's eat. Martha had served, but Lazarus was one of the ones who sat at the table with him. He who was formerly dead. Then Mary took a pound of very costly spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? A denarii is a day's wages for a worker. If you look in my margin on my Bible, it says about 1 year's wages for a worker. They had a bottle of perfume worth 1 year's wages for a worker. Okay, so let's just say he made $10 an hour. And he was a worker, and he made 10 bucks an hour. He worked 40 hours a week. That's 400 bucks. He worked 52 weeks a year. That put him at 20,800. We'll just back it on back to 20,000. They had a $20,000 bottle of perfume. Let me just say one thing about that. If I asked you to come over to my house tomorrow, anybody in here, anybody, and I said, come on over to the house, I'm going to cook some hamburgers and we'll have hamburgers. And you'd be like, okay, I ain't got nothing going on. Meet you for lunch, my house. What I wouldn't do when you got there is I wouldn't show you through my house. Because my house ain't nothing special. I mean, I thank God for it. It's paid for. That's pretty special. But it's just a regular house. It's not a big old house. It's the county assessment on it. I'm telling you, somebody's blind or ain't paying attention up there. The county assessment on it's $350,000 or something. I'm telling you, it's not much more than a cracker box. It's not a big old place. I wouldn't show you around. I'd just say the bathroom's down there on the right. But I mean, if I went into maybe one of your house, you got a beautiful home with a, you know, maybe there's a staircase that goes up, and I'd say, wow, what a staircase. And you want to see upstairs. It's really nice. You got a overlooking the river and all this stuff, and maybe here's the whatever, and maybe it's the golden elevator or something. I don't know. And we'd see it. But if you came to my house, I wouldn't show you around my house because there isn't anything. I mean, it's just fine. It's fine. You know, it's like an above ground pool. You know, that's a pool. You know, I got a house. It's a house. I mean, it's a house. But it's, you know, that's just all it is, really. But let me tell you this right now. If I had in my house a $20,800 bottle of perfume, you would get a tour of my house that immediately took you by the mantle where that bottle of perfume is with a little cage around it and all that stuff. And I would walk you right by there to show you around my house. You don't even need to see the rest of the house. All you need to see is that. See that right there? Worth 20 grand. That's our bottle of perfume. We have one. We've got a $20,000 bottle of perfume in our house. I notice your gutters are falling off, but we're not touring the gutters. We're looking at the perfume. So, about 1 year's wages for a worker. I mean, $10 an hour ain't that much. I mean, that's a worker, you know. And I mean, hey, I looked at Chick-fil-A. $18.50 for chicken cookers. $18.50. I thought, Lord, I'll just talk to the board at Faith Fellowship. Make my move now. Get in on the ground floor of that chicken business. I believe that it would be all you could eat, but I don't know. Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii? And he said that he cared, not that he cared for the poor, but he was a thief and had the money box and used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. I don't know about crucifixion that much, but I have heard people teach on it, and maybe you have, to where it's a suffocation thing. It's not just a bleed to death. It's you have to pull yourself up to inhale, because when you're hanging down, you can't inhale, and that's, of course, it. And you can't do that but just a little bit. And I just thought, could you imagine this lady breaking this $20,000? It had to smell good. I mean, this wasn't none of that channel number 5. You know what I'm saying? This was the good stuff. You know, the ladies, you know, the kind that you only like to put one tiny little squirt on because that bottle's going to last you a year, except it's $20,000 worth. Every time he inhaled, he knew there was at least one person who got it. Not necessarily one person who loved him unconditionally, but one person who got hold of the magnitude that I'm telling you about right now. That this thing that's getting ready to happen, it's the greatest event in all of history and all of the universe of ever past eternity. You can't put the words to it to say what happened. He became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him, and that's all you and your neighbors, everybody else. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us that we might be the righteousness of God in him. And this lady, who, by the way, she was a sinner too, says it right in there. She was a sinner. She cracked this oil on him, and she realized she's one person. None of them got it. Why was this wasted? Why wasn't it given to the poor? Why? Listen, she got it. She cracked this thing, and every time he inhaled, he said, somebody got this. But verse 8 is the really shocking verse. Who would think you'd ever hear Jesus say this? Let her alone. She's kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you will have with you always, but me you do not have always. Kind of almost can't even believe Jesus said that. I mean, it was heal the sick, raise the dead, feed the poor, you know, and widows and orphans and all of this stuff. But Jesus was saying, basically what he's saying is this moment is about to pass away. And this moment, when it goes, it's gone. You've got a $20,000, you got a $20,000 bottle of perfume that is no more value than a piece of bubble gum compared to what's getting ready to happen on that cross. He is getting ready to become the sin of the world. The beating and the scourging and all that. Of course that was terrible. And we think about that and we say, oh my gosh, they just beat the life out of him. But the twisting and his visage was marred. Why? Because he became the sin of the whole world. Every shortfall in your life, every wrong thought, every of you and all your neighbors and me and everybody, he became that sin. The righteous Son of God became that sin for us. This was a humongous big deal, and I'm telling you right now, you can rest assured it is every bit as much yours as it is anybody's. And it's wonderful. I'm going to read one more. Now look at this in Mark 14. Mark 14, I'm going to read verse 3. Listen, same story. You know what, the synoptic gospels, they kind of have the same stories and a similar view about the stories. The synoptic gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're just the same stories. John is different. some of the stories in John or in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but it's not a synoptic gospel. It's not the same stories and the same view as these other three are. And the one that's not is John, the one we're looking at. But this story is in John. It's in Matthew 26. It's in Mark 14. It's in Luke 7. It's in Luke 12. Why? Because wherever this gospel is preached, what this woman did will be told. And it's 2,000 years later, and we're in the middle of Matthew's, Cobbs Creek, wherever we're at. And look, and we're talking about it 2,000 years later. We're talking about that lady with the 20 grand perfume busting it on Jesus' feet and wiping it with her hair and her tears. Amazing. And being in Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, he sat at the table, and a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly spikenard. She broke the flask and poured it over his head. And there were some who were indignant among themselves, and they said this, verse 4, why was this fragrant oil wasted? How many in here tonight think it was wasted? Not one of us. It might have been sold for more than 300 denarii. It might have been sold for more than $20,000 in the money given to the poor. But Jesus said, let her alone. Do not trouble her. She's done a good work. For you have the poor with you always. And whenever you wish, you may do to them, do good to them. But me you will not have always. This is a once in a lifetime moment in time. And she's marking it with this bottle of perfume. And finally, it says, she has done what she could. She came beforehand to anoint my body for oil. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial to her. Jesus said in John 15:15, I no longer call you servants, but friends. There's nothing more important that you can do from this moment forward than to establish and build up and fortify that friendship that you have with the one who lives on the inside of you now. Yeah. In the Message Bible of 2 Corinthians 13:14, it says, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. There's really only three things we have to do, so easy. And then God will give you more stuff to do, and that's great too. The Genesis account was a pretty good picture of a loving friendship. God created man, put him in a garden called paradise, said eat freely of the garden, walk and talk with God, and all name all the animals together. God brought Adam didn't even go get the animals. God brought them to him, and he named them, you know, aardvark, anteater, you know, rat snake. How did that? Anyway. Name the animals together for the garden. Cultivate the garden and cultivate a loving fellowship and friendship. There's boundaries. Don't eat the fruit from the knowledge of the good and evil. The Genesis account was a good picture of this. It included these three things, and this is where we close. Number one, time. You're going to have to spend some time with God. You know, I have a friend that's pretty old. She's 86 years old. And she's kind of bored and doesn't really, you know, she's lived a lot of life there, and she's had a really great life, and she doesn't really, you know, have, you know, I mean, she's 86, she don't have a boyfriend, you know. Anyway. And I told her, actually my wife told her, said, why don't you begin to volunteer somewhere and do something. And she said, well, I don't have time for all that. And my wife said, all you got is time. You're 86 years old, got plenty of money, and all you got is time. That was like pouring water on a rock right there. You know, it just runs right off and you just hope for the best. But if we don't spend time with our friends, we'll become disconnected. Go for weeks and months without calling your friend, and pretty soon that'll be your friend from way back when, who you used to be tight with. Still love him. He still loves you, but it ain't the same. Number two is talk. Either talk or friendship stagnates like still water. If you see a water and it's moving, a little stream, it's clear and cool and all that, But you can walk on any kind of lake, even a little nature trail or something, you can see these puddles, and they're just nasty. Almost look sometimes like they got a little oil on top of them or something like that. Yeah. And it's because nothing's moving through there. Nothing's moving. You got to talk, and you got to spend time. And finally, number three, you got to have some activity, or things get really boring. In other words, if you don't get up in the morning and say, what is it going to be today, Lord? I, on the 26th or whatever the day is, I found out that you came to live on the inside of me. You're so special and wonderful. You've done all of these things. You honored me by coming to live on the inside of me. Now, how can I spend time with you? How can you can you show me what you're going to do in the world today? Can you show me things to come? Can you take me in a story in this work? Go get in the secret place. Invest time, talk, and activity, and you'll find yourself in a loving relationship with the most special person there has ever been throughout eternity. Many people are waiting for the right thing to come along. And I'm telling you, if you raised your hand earlier and said you were born again, the right thing has already come along, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Bow your heads with me for just a second. Doug told me, he warned me. Doug said, hey, dude, don't be trying to, you know, overdo it with the preaching. I said, well, we got to check and see if anybody needs to get saved. Look, so every head.